Yo, what's up, fellas? Welcome back to another episode of the Josh A. Podcast. It's been crazy since the last episode. You know, I announced the tour. Tickets are on sale on joshay.com. You guys should, come through, check it out, support your boy. Also, I do have a mild announcement with the state of this podcast and everything. So I'm going to be moving the podcast off of the Little Revive channel and onto its own brand new channel. So if you guys want to subscribe to it, I'll have the link in the description and in the comments. The last time I upload on this channel for the podcast is going to be May 23rd. So after that, it's all gone. And then I'll transition back into music for this channel, which will probably be another Little Revive project because I'm working on one. Also, guys, I gotta tell you, like, this past week and everything, since the last episode, I haven't really been paying attention to the world a bit because I've just been, like, writing like crazy. I've gone into this, like, very manic writing spree. Well, not really manic, I guess. I'm just constantly writing for some reason. Like, just over the past few days, I've written, like 10 or so songs. It's been insane. And I really think it's because of, like, the new Kendrick Lamar coming out. I've just been revisiting rap in general, and I've been writing bars, man. I've been working on just like rapping and stuff and perfecting my craft in that, like, in that regard, because a lot of my stuff in the past has been, you know, very melodic and singing and stuff, and I'm still gonna be singing, but, you know, I got some stuff to say. And guys, that new Kendrick Lamar song that dropped last night was insane. And it makes me really happy to see that, like, rap is still accepted, because for a while I got this vibe from just culture and everybody on the internet and stuff that like nobody wanted to hear rapping anymore. But seeing that and seeing, you know, the true, like, masterclass that Kendrick Lamar is, it has me rethinking a lot of it, and it makes me want to, you know, speak my own truth as well. And lately, man, it's just been feeling like I'm hungry again, you know, like, J. Cole has this thing that he does, wherever, like, I guess because he, you know, made so much money with rap and everything that he ended up, just getting a normal house, and he, like, works on music from that house, because, like, it makes sense, right, that, you know, it's hard to stay hungry and driven, you know, rapping from a mansion or whatever. So I really like that mentality, and that's been kind of my own mentality as well with things, is, not to enjoy the fruits of my labor too much, because the second you start getting comfortable, it's kind of like Conor McGregor. You know, I don't know if you guys pay attention a lot to the UFC, which I'm going to talk about the latest UFC event later on, but it's like Conor McGregor is a great example of like comfort, I guess. I don't want to talk too negative about this guy because he could beat my ass, but what I mean is, like, you know, he had this insane, crazy run with his career. You know, he became the double champ of I think it was lightweight and featherweight, I could be wrong, and then he went on to fight Floyd Mayweather and everything, and then after that it was just like, it was like he was making so much money, he was so famous, that it was, I guess, just hard to, you know, stay motivated in order to continue fighting. Like whenever he got knocked out by Dustin Poirier, and then the rematch again, he went into the fight with, like, a pre-broken leg or whatever. It's like, you know, it's all about making sure that you're not chilling in a Lamborghini yacht whenever you hit it big. You know, you have to, or even, like, people who win the lottery as well. It's like people who win the lottery, they spend all the money within a year or two, and then they're back to you know, their previous financial situation. So yeah, that's been like my main prerogative with music and everything is stay hungry, stay driven, stay hardworking, be on the Sigma male grind set, you know. but yeah, that's like my long-winded way of saying that like I feel revitalized. I feel like I just went on a long run and I had a Gatorade, you know. All right, mowed the lawn and it was a hot Florida day and I had a lemonade. And it's not to say that I wasn't driven or hungry before, because that's just my constant state of being. But whenever I get into these writing modes, wherever I'm just like writing for hours upon hours or days upon days, it's like Every single time I feel better than I was before. And that's, I love that feeling. It just feels so, so mentally free in a way. And yeah, I'm just excited to drop stuff in the future. I think we're gonna, like, in my own head, it feels like, a whole new stride is being hit that I haven't hit before. So I think it'll be fun. And that feeling is like what art's all about to me, man. That's like why I wake up in the morning. That's why I constantly chase this stuff with music. It's chasing that feeling of expressing myself and feeling like I did a good job doing so. And then the second best part with it all as well is knowing that people can connect with it. I think that's so cool. So yeah. Anywho, what's been going on in the world lately? Nothing really that I care about a whole lot. There's the Kendrick Lamar album that's coming out this weekend. I am beyond excited for that. I'm going to be staying up waiting for it to drop, and I'm going to listen to it immediately. I'm gonna be like, oh, I just can't wait for that because I know it's going to be amazing. If it sucks, I'm like, I have nothing else to look forward to aside from Obi-Wan or Stranger Things. I mean, Stranger Things, sure, but like, man, that Kendrick album. If he takes another break for 5 years or whatever, like he better bring something good with this album that I can listen to for the next 5 years, because I've been doing that with his album Damn. Like, Element got to be one of my favorite rap songs at the moment. Aside from that, there was the whole UFC event from this past weekend. I don't know if you guys watched the UFC, but I would highly recommend getting into it if you don't like know anything about it or whatever. It's so fun to watch. It's the only sport that I really enjoy. I mean, like, I tried to get into football, and I still like football a little bit, but the UFC, there's something about it. I think it's just the fact that people are just beating the living hell out of each other. You know, it's like they sort of do that in football. Like, there are some serious injuries that people get in football, but rarely do you see a full on knockout or anything wild like that. You know, in football, you can't do like a spinning back kick to someone's skull. So yeah. Yeah, it's fun to get into if you look into it, because when I was a teenager, I remember hearing about the UFC, and I always associated it with like cringe, like it's like you know, not really anything interesting or whatever. It's just two naked guys beating each other up, you know. It's just the initially that was my reaction, and then I started to get into it around when Conor McGregor started coming up and everything, and it's so interesting watching the state of each weight class, because there's so many weight classes and there's so many talented fighters in each weight class, and like seeing who's gonna be at the throne of each one, you know, that's like really fun, and like if you find a fighter that you like, you're on the edge of your seat when they have to fight. Oh, and also, shout out Terrence McKinney. He's a UFC fighter, and I've been following him for a while, and he recently followed me, and I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. I immediately DM'd him, and I was like, "Yo, man, big fan! Like, thank you so much for following me." And it's so cool. So yeah, prepare for me to nerd out about the UFC. So what happened with this event? Already, like, I was excited for it because of the card. There's Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson. Thug Rose was on it. Charles Oliveira versus Justin Gaethje. Like, oh, man. And so, like, that was already pretty hype, right? And then at the weigh-ins, Charles Oliveira, he missed weight by half a pound. and they gave him an hour to try to lose half a pound. And he still couldn't do it, so he lost his belt, which if you don't know, Charles Oliveira is the champion of the lightweight division, and it definitely sucks that he lost the belt. And with that, you would think mentally going into that fight that he's you know like if you're a fighter and suddenly you find out right before a fight you lost your title, it's kind of like that would be mentally damaging, like going into a fight. And the way how they dictated it was basically Charles Oliveira, if he wins that fight, he does not get the belt But if Justin Gaethje wins the fight, he gets he's able to get the belt, which is interesting. I feel like for half a pound, like the UFC has just got to bend the rules a little bit. You know, I understand that there are rules in place, but half a pound, really? You can't just let him keep the belt? I understand if like it would make sense if that Oliveira had to sacrifice his purse to Justin Gaethje for that. That would make sense, right? Because even if you do come up short in the weight, wherever like you mess up, that is on you. That is a responsibility you have to take. I think something with the purse would make more sense. I don't get why he has to lose the belt, but with him losing it, it does open up a lot. Like, say for instance, Justin Gaethje wins, then he's the new champion, and then Islam Makhachev wants to come through and fight for the belt. Islam Makhachev will most likely win the belt and then have it for centuries. But the way how the fight panned out, Oliveira won the fight, doesn't win the belt, so the belt's just up for grabs at this point. I mean, I imagine Oliveira will fight for the belt next, because that would make the most sense. He's the number one ranked in the world. But there is that slim possibility that if Conor McGregor wanted to, he could just show up out of nowhere and demand a rematch with Dustin Poirier to fight for the belt. I know that probably won't happen, but that's, in my eyes, that's like dream scenario, because we'd just be living in fantasy land and it would be fun. But yeah, I mean, realistically, Oliveira is going to fight somebody for the belt. I think the clear contender for the next fight for Oliveira, it should be Islam Makhachev. That's where I think we're going to see, you know, the Russians back at the top, because you know he's basically just Khabib too, I don't see Oliveira winning that fight, because not only does Islam Makhachev have like basically clear cut copy paste wrestling as Khabib, he also has knockout power, which is, I think, is underrated in his fighting. And you know, call me selfish, but I feel like that fight could be set up in a few weeks, because like Oliveira did take some hits in this recent fight, but it only lasted one round. I think it barely even lasted a minute. It was over like super quick. And a lot of UFC fans might disagree with me on Islam Makhachev being the next person to fight Oliveira, because a lot of people don't like him and his fighting style, the same way how a lot of people don't like Khabib and his fighting style, because it's more focused on the wrestling. It's heavy submissions, not really a lot of knockouts. And people always say that guys like that are like boring or whatever, but I don't see how submissions are boring, or like wrestling. I don't see how any of that is boring, because you're putting yourself at way more risk of getting hits, getting submitted yourself by trying to submit somebody. Like I think it takes a lot more skill than just a simple, you know, knockout or whatever. And that's not to say that, you know, getting knockouts or whatever is easy by any means, but it's called mixed martial arts for a reason. You know, if you want just straight fighting or like high octane fighting, just watch boxing or something. But even boxing is a little boring sometimes. And speaking of knockouts, just, oh my God, the Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson fight. Jesus Christ. He, like, Michael Chandler knocked out Tony Ferguson, and it definitely sucks, because it's one of those fights wherever I'm rooting for both guys, because I really like both fighters, and I want to see both of them win. They were both coming off of losing streaks, and it was basically like whoever wins this breaks their streak. And like Michael Chandler's whole journey in the UFC, I've been rooting for him, because he had this explosive entrance into the UFC with his first fight against Dan Hooker, and like he knocked him out. It was crazy. It was like a huge highlight reel finish, and then he just went on to lose his next few fights, and like, granted, the fights that he lost were against some very talented people. Like, you still got to respect him either way, because it wasn't like he was lacking in skill or anything. He gave it his all, but it was just against some very, very talented people, like Oliveira, for instance, and Justin Gaethje. But he finally got another win, and to add to it, a highlight reel finish, because Jesus Christ, He did this it's like an underhook kick just right underneath Tony Ferguson's chin, and knocked him out cold. it made that Jake Paul Tyron Woodley fight look like Blue's Clues. But what's so funny to me is just sitting here talking about the UFC and like fights and stuff from the comfort of my gamer chair. You know, these guys are out here fighting and stuff, and I'm just sat here like pondering, critiquing, you know, talking about it. That's just so funny to me. Okay, so the UFC boring talk is over for anybody who doesn't follow the UFC. If you follow the UFC, leave a comment. Let me know what you think about, you know, the card, what you think of what I said. If I sound like a dumbass, you know, you can correct me, whatever. Anyways, what else has been going on? I mean, just waiting around for Obi-Wan to come out, man. That's about it. I guess I could give my hopes and prayers to anybody invested in the stock market or cryptocurrency right now. The whole market's down. It's horrible. Just got to pour one out for the homies, you know. I feel for you guys. The last time Bitcoin was this low was July 2021, which is wild to think about. Any type of gains that it's had since then just wiped away. And like, I'm not a big crypto guy. I used to be like heavily into it, but you know, on days like these, I'm glad that I'm not really that heavily invested into it. Jesus Christ. But just know, fellas, I got your portfolios and my thoughts and prayers. Just know you're not alone. But yeah, I think that's all I wanted to talk about today. Let's jump into the Q&A. Let me answer your questions and then we'll close it out. All right, so the first one, this isn't really a question. I just wanted to highlight this. It comes from Marissa, and they said, I have really bad anxiety as well, and I love that you're keeping your stutters in the cast. It's amazing. It makes me not feel alone with my stutters and my anxiety. Yeah, that was like the big reason I did it was just because it felt more authentic to myself and who I am, and I'm not going to just, you know, edit my personality just to placate anybody. I think that's the most important takeaway from it all. Like, I started out with the first episode, I like cut out all my stutters and stuff, and I was really nervous about that. But then I just decided, you know what, screw it. Like, if people don't like my stutters, if they don't like how, you know, weird and wacky and zany I am, then you know, They'll go watch the Nelk podcast or something. You know, they'll go watch something else. And I'm being me, and it's like a take it or leave it thing. And I think more people should just embrace who they are instead of trying to be anybody else. The next question comes from Simon Grimm. Serious question: ever planning on making Grim Peaks 4, or is it a trilogy? I don't know. I'm debating, because I'm currently messing around with a Little Revive project, but I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. That's the only thing. I have to figure out the storyline and all that stuff, if I want to make it set in the Grim Peaks world, or if I want to try something else. I don't know. Maybe it'll be Grim Peaks 4, maybe it might be something different. It just depends on how I feel with it and what I end up creating in the process. Okay, this next question comes from Leo Shanks. Yo, can you perform Ray Gun live? That would be dope as hell. What a classic. No, I'm not. I will not perform Ray Gun live. Jesus Christ. The cringiest song I made as like a 15-year-old. I thought I was killing it. You know, I thought I was getting all spiritual, lyrical, miracle about my favorite video game, Call of Duty Zombies. But it was just looking back on it, I cringed so hard. But it's a nice part of the whole lore. You know, it's fun, but no, I'm not going to perform it live. I don't even remember the lyrics, and it's insanely cringy. I'm sorry. All right, this next question comes from, I don't even know how to pronounce that name. I'm sorry, man. But the question is, do you deal with self-doubt? If so, how do you go about overcoming it? I'm a new artist, and I get months of confidence and then months of self-doubt. It feels like a never-ending cycle. Would be good to hear about this from a much more experienced artist. Yeah, I deal with self-doubt quite a bit. It's usually whenever I want to start an album. That's always the hardest part, because I have so much of like my discography in the back of my head. I have like so much that I have to live up to and make sure that I surpass expectations and stuff. I put a lot of pressure on myself whenever it comes to making albums and making music in general. It's like, I want whatever the next thing that I drop to be as good as the last thing, and that's always hard to do, especially like as a artist myself, like I do a lot of this stuff on my own. Like I work with very few people. You know, most people in the industry, most of these people who are signed to labels, they're working with like 30 songwriters on one song. Not me. It's just me. Sometimes I'll work on beats or come up with a hook or something like that with Z-Wall, or I'll work on stuff with Andrew Wade, who is like the GOAT. But yeah, for the most part, it's like all me. So the pressure is just like crazy on my shoulders. You know, I can't rely on 50 songwriters to come out with a chart topping classic. I just have to do it on my own. And yeah, to overcome it, it's really just forcing yourself to like do it, because if you don't force yourself to go after the things that you want to go after, you're just going to sit and be lazy and get comfortable or get complacent, and then whenever you try to go back to it, then your muscles aren't like fine tuned to it, like you haven't worked the muscle out in a while, and then you get even more self doubt. So what I would say is just force yourself to create one thing every day, or like whenever you have free time, just force yourself to make something, and then you know, that self-doubt will eventually turn into confidence, and that's like why I love making albums, because, you know, I take some time off between projects, and then whenever I start a new album, it always feels so daunting, because I'm like, man, how do I live up to the last one? And then you know, I get that self-doubt, and then as I progress through the album and as I finish it, I feel like I'm at the top of my level, or my skill level has reached maximum height, and I feel just I'm like bursting with confidence creatively, and so it's really just, you know, making sure that you're creating something as much as possible, and it's that whole 10,000 hours thing to like become an expert or whatever. You know, the more you do it, the less self-doubt you will feel, because, you know, I definitely have self-doubt from time to time, but I managed to, like, my easiest way to curb it, again, is just through doing it a lot. All right, the next question comes from Sia RXO. They ask, could we ever please get a Draw My Life kind of thing, or something about your whole life, please? Yeah, I've been wanting to do something like that. Like, I've wanted to create it myself, because I see a lot of these, like, you know, videos from people like Patrick CC or Sunny V2, and the idea of like if anybody ever made a video like that of me, that would just be terrifying. I don't want that, and I feel like there's a lot of misinformation out there as to like who I am and my upbringing and stuff, that I feel like it would just like any video that gets made about me is gonna have a lot of misinformation in it. So I would love to do like story sort of video of my life eventually. You know, I feel like my life isn't over yet. like I still have a lot, there are a lot more chapters of my life that I need to live out before I make something like that. Like, I'm 25 right now. I feel like my life is kind of just beginning, but, you know, maybe whenever I turn 30, maybe that's whenever I'll do a deep dive and really get into the nitty gritty of my life and where I come from, all that type of stuff. All right, this next question comes from Just Cacti. This is just kind of a fun question, but here it is. Hey Josh, what's your McDonald's order? All right, I'll break it down for you guys. So I get a small mocha frappe, a 10-piece chicken nugget, sweet and sour sauce, and a medium fry. And that's the wave. All right. Jesus. All right, so this next question comes from CGC4L. Question, are you going to perform the Little Revive songs on tour? Love the podcast, by the way. Can't wait for the tour. Hell yeah, brother. I hope you come out. It'll be a fun time. So yeah, I will be doing some Little Revive songs on tour. I'm weighing the options right now. Like, I know I want to do the biggest ones, like Grim Peaks and Tell the Reaper I'm Sorry. I'll have to see if there's any other ones that I want to do. You know, maybe if I get a Little Revive project out before tour, I can do some of those, because I got this one song for the Little Revive project that is just, like, the beat goes so hard, so maybe I'll do that, but, yeah, we'll see. I don't know which song specifically, but I do know that I'm going to be doing some Little Revive stuff. But just a spoiler alert, I'm not doing a costume change. people have been speculating if I'm going to like wear the hood and the flannel. No, I'm sorry. It's just gonna be little old me. All right, this next one comes from Captain Rex. Question for the next podcast: are you going to have merch or posters for sale at the shows? And the answer is yes. We're doing posters, we're doing t-shirts and hoodies, and it's all like exclusive stuff that you can only get at the shows. It won't be available on the website. I might bring some stuff from the website to the shows. I'm thinking about maybe the Pain hoodie or the Lonely Vibes hoodie. No promises though, because I don't have a solid answer on that yet. But for the merch, we're definitely going to be bringing exclusive stuff to the shows. All right, so this last question is going to close out the podcast. Comes from Big Hunk of Chocolate. they asked, can't wait for the tour. As a movie nerd, what is your favorite and least favorite movie? And I love this question. So my favorite movie for sure has got to be either Whiplash or Social Network. It's one of the two. I can't really put one above the other, but those are my favorite movies just for like motivation and wanting to, you know, take over the world with music and stuff. It just gives me like endless motivation. Like watching The Social Network, it's like seeing Mark Zuckerberg build out Facebook and build that stuff. Like the whole montage with Trent Reznor's music in the background is so good, and if you need motivation, just watch that. Same thing with Whiplash. Whiplash is amazing. My biggest takeaway from that movie is the quote from J.K. Simmons at the end, whenever he's like talking to the main character and they're like at a bar. And what he says is, there are no words more dangerous to humanity than the words good job. Because that, yeah, it's just like, yeah, if you just celebrate mediocrity, then no one will do anything to prove themselves. You know, everything will stay the same. I just feel like it's such an important movie. It's those are two fantastic films, and I would highly recommend watching them if you haven't seen them. They're pretty popular, I feel like, amongst, you know, nerds such as myself. And as for a least favorite movie, I really couldn't tell you. Like, there hasn't really been anything that like, if there's something that I don't like, I usually just throw it to the side and then forget about it. Like, I don't really let it fester. I could give you like a laughably bad movie that is fun to watch, which would probably be Troll 2. That's a great movie for if you ever want a movie, like if you're with some friends, or even if you're by yourself and you just want to watch something that is so bad that it's funny and like makes you cringe, but in a good way. Watch Troll 2. It has some of the worst acting I've ever seen. It has like the lowest budget ever, and that's a fantastic movie for like that's how I'll answer that question. I don't really want to you know, bring up a like bad movie that I hate or whatever. You know, it's a bad movie, but I love it. All right, fellas, that's probably gonna do it for this episode. Before I leave, though, I do want to remind you, you know, get your tickets, joshay.com. Come through. I want to see your faces. And the other thing for the YouTube people, you know, I brought it up at the beginning of the video, just make sure you subscribe to the Josh A Podcast YouTube channel, so that way, whenever I stop uploading on Little Revive, you'll know where the podcast went, basically, so you're not just left in the dark. Or you can listen on Spotify. That would be, like, my preferred way that you guys listen, because you can just transition pretty easily from the music to the podcast, all that. So, yeah, I'll see you guys next week.